Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCV Radio. And now more this week on our current teaching, Occupy Till I Come, taken from the parable found in Luke 19, verses 11 through 27. Now, my friend, it is important to remember that we are discussing a parable and not a story. My friend, there is a huge difference between a story and a parable, for a story happened in reality, as described in the inspired and infallible Word of God, where a parable is kind of sort of a story that could have maybe happened, but the teller is trying to use this story that kind of happened to convey a meaning or a lesson. Yeah, so often the teller then uses symbolism and imagery to go ahead and paint a picture in the minds and hearts so that the hearer will be able to understand the meaning a little more clear. The Gospels are full of parables. Jesus was a master of using parables, mostly to describe Israel's waywardness. Also in Luke chapter 15, we can find the parables of the lost sheep, 1 through 6, the lost coin, verses 7 through 10, and what many call the prodigal son, but the Bible doesn't use the word prodigal here, verses 11 through 32. But all three parables are symbolizing Israel being lost and not knowing or even wanting to know that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. As a matter of fact, every parable in the gospel was about Israel in one form or the other. Now remember, Jesus came to the lost house of Israel, to the Jewish people. In Matthew 10 and 6, Jesus commanded the 12 disciples, "Go ye not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans." And now the Samaritans, they were half Jew and they were half Gentile. Jesus said, "Enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Why, Jesus himself said in Matthew 15 and 24, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep or the house of Israel," which is the Jewish people. My friend, did you know that Jesus only ministered, or as the Bible records this, to only two Gentiles? The first was the centurion in Matthew 8 and 10. And the second was the lady's whose daughter was grievously vexed with the devil in Matthew 15, verses 23 through 28. If you critically look at the Gospels, you will find they were written to Jew only. And maybe even if you look a little closer, the Gospels are an extension of the Old Testament. But don't worry, my friend, God had a plan for the Gentiles. That would be you and me, my brother. He had Saul, later to be renamed Paul, to bear the glorious message of the gospel, saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2 and 8, to the Gentiles and also to the Jews. Amen. So last week we looked at how the nobleman, who I believe to be Jesus in this parable, counted on, he expected his servants to be wise, good stewards with the treasures he gave his servants, and that would be us. But it was a deep teaching with a real-world experience from my life that I will never, ever forget. Oh, the look on Pastor Israel's grandson's face, the joy, the fulfillment when he dropped that dollar bill that I gave him into the offering basket. It was unforgettable. Now, that happened around 20 years ago, but it was like only yesterday. But this is the way that truth operates when we take something out of the physical and put it into the spiritual realm. It's our thoughts and our memories for our lifetime. We can hold on to them. Yes, God is counting on us. He expects us to use whatsoever he gives us wisely and for his glory. You know, God never gives dead-ended. Let me say that again. God never, ever gives dead-ended. He always gives with more giving expected, where there is a greater return on his investment. That would be God's investment. Amen? Okay, so let us go ahead and get into what the Lord has for us this week. And we will go ahead and start looking at point number four. So let's keep our spirits open and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Now, this week we will not look at the character of the servant or of the nobleman, but we will look at the job the servants had. At the end of Luke 19 and 15, Jesus shares these words. He said that the nobleman, might know how much every man has gained by trading. Wow. The servants, that would be us, were not skilled laborers or farmers or carpenters or masons, but they were traders. They were businessmen. So what business ought we be employed in? Well, that is easy. If you're a believer, we ought to be employed in the Father's business. Now, notice the word occupy here is capitalized in mid-sentence. So either there was a mistake during the translation or there is something special about this word occupying. I think the latter is true. We are to be employed in the Father's business of doing things that have eternal value and not the things of the Father that have temporal value. The Father's business is not pastoring the church or running an international Bible teaching ministry, singing in the choir, paying the tithes, cutting the grass, or any of that stuff that we think the Father is involved with. You know, I hear many pastors and other folks say, God needs me to share the gospel. Oh, my friend, how presumptive they are. God does not need us. Oh, no, we need Him. He only allows us to engage with Him in business so that we can learn more about Him and ourselves. Our ministry that He gives us has little to do with nothing to with what God is doing, but who God is. But this is our goal, to come to know God and His ways. And He, God, uses the good work that He allows us to do to show us how He moves and how He operates and how He functions. He uses the ministry to show the world and us how much He loves us and the people in the world. Yes, God is not too concerned about denominations and religions, but He is very concerned about us coming to know His character and His ways. This was one lesson that God was trying to teach the children of Israel in the wilderness, to come to know His ways, but all they wanted to know was His acts. And you can see that in Psalms 103 and 7. Just like today, most Christians don't want to know how God operates and functions in His ways. They just want His gifts, and they just want to know His acts. You know, in Luke 2, there is a wonderful story, not a parable, where Jesus was left behind by His parents. And when they discovered Jesus was missing, they returned to Jerusalem and found Him, Jesus, sitting in the temple in the midst of the doctors, both hearing and asking them questions. Luke 2:46. Joseph and Mary asked Him, "Why did you leave?" And Jesus replied, "How is it that ye sought me? Twist ye not? Know that I must be about my Father's business." Well, that is how many translations, even the King James Version, reads. But in the Greek to English version, which is a lot more accurate, Jesus said, "Twist ye not, or do you not know I must begin to be about my Father?" The word business was added to make a better sense of Jesus' statement, but it was not correct. Jesus was saying, it is about time that I begin to act, to look like. It is about time for me to be about my Father. And being about the Father is the Father's business for us too, my friend. We are to be about looking and acting like the Father. Jesus was only 12 years old, and you can see that in verse 42, and He knew it was time to begin to look like His Father. Not Joseph, but His Heavenly Father. So, what is the business of trading? Well, occupying, which is in verse 13, is from the Greek Strong's number 4231 and means busying oneself with trade. Let me say that again, busying oneself with trade, not work. So, to trade, we are to trade our time, our resources, our home, our cars, our trucks, our abilities for the purposes of God to see people come to know a holy God. What a winning trade-off. We are to trade our leisure time for the time we spend with God. Our occupying here on earth should be used to carry people to our home, to a good church, if you can find one. It should be used to share the gospel with family and neighbors, co-workers, strangers, someone used it, even our enemies, whomever. Our home ought to be the place where people can come to hear the truth and to share the love of God with them. We are to trade our life for another's so that they can come to know the truth of the Word of God. Trading, what we desire and want so that others can come to know God. Okay, more next week on Occupy Till I Come, my friend. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory. Hoping these words have sunk in and they're beginning to come to, and you're beginning to come to an understanding of what it means to occupy as we lay our life down, as we trade our life for another's life. And that would be the life of God. And be conformed into the character and the image of our dear Son, Jesus Christ. More next week on Occupy Till I Come. Amen.